The following Compassion Radio broadcast comes from our vast program archives.
On today's Compassion Radio.
The thing that grieves me most these days is to see young people when they should be preparing their heart for making their lives count, to make it all part of God's great scheme of getting the gospel to everyone everywhere. And when I talk to young people that are just letting their lives slip through their fingers, it just breaks my heart. My prayer is that their lives will count for God and that they won't waste these years.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Hello, and welcome to this edition of Compassion Radio, the radio journal that brings you the world as God sees it. Yesterday, Norm reintroduced us to a powerful interview he conducted in the year 2004 with a godly woman and a powerful example of inspiring faith. Her name is Marge St. Vanderpooy. She has an intimate knowledge of the most moving missionary story of the 20th century, one that has had a profound effect on this ministry and on Norm himself. Let's join Norm again as he brings us up to date with the story of the five American missionaries who laid down their lives for Jesus in the jungles of Ecuador 57 years ago.
Imagine, if you can, that you've been obedient to the Lord's call to go to a faraway land to serve Him in a primitive jungle location. Marge, you'll remember, was a missionary in Ecuador when her husband, Nate Saint, was killed by Indians whom they were seeking to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was back in 1956. But this tragic event has endured with miraculous consequences into our time, a half century later. There's even a connection with this radio ministry in this story. So, let's pick up the story on part two of our conversation. We've concentrated, Marge, so much on the men, but I also want to be so clear about this. The heroism, and you wouldn't see it that way, but I see it that way, the heroism of you, the wives, the women who shared in ministry. I was going to say you supported them, and you did, but you had your own calling, which was every bit as important as theirs. Oh my, what a tremendous challenge there is in that. I think today of young people who may be listening to this program, and I hope that they understand the joy and the satisfaction that comes from living the adventure of following Jesus Christ, whether it's in a jungle mission station in Ecuador or whether it's in the heart of a great American city or whether it's on a farm in the middle of this country, wherever God calls us to serve Him and to submit to His will for our lives, and we will never be sorry, will we?
No, Norman, and I think the thing that grieves me most these days is to see young people this time of their life when they're young,
yes,
and when they should be preparing their lives and their hearts for making their lives count wherever they are and whatever they're doing, but to make it all part of God's great scheme of getting the gospel to everyone everywhere. And when I talk to young people that are just letting their lives slip through their fingers,
yeah,
oh, it just breaks my heart.
Yes,
and
yes.
And I have 17 grandchildren and expecting our 14th great-grandchild, and my prayer is that their lives will count for God and that they won't waste these years of preparation.
Oh, that's such a good word and so important. Marge, that story is not finished because ultimately there was a tremendous outcome and a great harvest that came from that tragedy on the sandbar that day in January so long ago. Tell us just briefly, what has resulted from that seemingly tragic event?
One good thing that's come of it is that 2 years after the men were killed, Elizabeth Elliott, one of the widows, and Rachel Saint, Nate's sister, my sister-in-law,
yes,
were able to go in and live with those people, and that in itself is a long story. But Elizabeth and her little daughter, Valerie, stayed there for 2 years and worked on putting the Alka language into writing, and then started translating the scriptures. And my sister-in-law, Rachel, lived there for 38 years,
yeah,
with those people. She was a Wycliffe Bible translator. She's now with the Lord also. But I tell you, I just over and over in these years since 1956, I have so many letters from people who tell me that they've named their baby boy for Nate, or somebody else who said, my child just read one of the many books that's been written, and they've committed their life to serve the Lord wherever he leads them. Oh, I tell you, it just goes on and on. And here I think that we five couples just saw a handful of Indians, unknown Indians, living out in the jungles of Ecuador. And God had a different purpose in mind, because he's really stirred people around the world. Abe and I were in South Africa under the auspices of Back to the Bible for some meetings. And we went to this real live church. And the first thing the pastor said when he stood up, that they were so glad to have us, and he said, the radio broadcasts have meant so much to us. And then he said, we have a representative here of another story that my wife and I read when we were in Bible college here in Africa, and we committed our lives to serve the Lord. Now, he and his wife were pastoring that church. Well, I tell you, a good thing about it is that not one of us or our children have taken any credit for it, because it was not our plan. It was none of our doings. We were just obedient to take that first step, and then God did the rest.
And really, the ultimate sense of fulfillment and satisfaction comes in knowing not that you did it, but that God did it, and that you were you were his instruments in that remarkable event.
Well, I think this is a beautiful outcome of it, that Day of Discovery from Radio Bible Class in Grand Rapids, Michigan, came down and made a video for one of their Sunday programs, and in it they interviewed Gikita, who was really the oldest man and the leader of the killing party. And they said, Gikita, we understand that you killed Rachel's brother, Marge's husband. And he said, ooh, which means yes.
Oh, really?
And he said, but I'm forgiven. I know I'm forgiven. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to find Nate Saint, and I'm going to put my arms around him, and we'll be friends forever. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that is at least wonderful.
Yeah.
There's hardly a word to describe it, Marge.
Yeah.
Well, what a special story, and as I said, it's been so important in my life, an unforgettable and powerful influence in the development of my life and ministry. And, of course, I became attached to it through my dear dad, Wilbur Nelson, and my mom, Ethel, who, of course, pastored the church that you came to so many years ago, and we got to know you then. But let's move on, then, to the second part of that name. In this case, Marge Vanderpooy. You married a man who, I told you pre-interview, I look up to tremendously. I don't know what it is about you, Marge, but the men you have married have been tremendously influential. A real missionary statesman, Abe Vanderpooy, and a great Christian broadcaster, and I don't know, there aren't words to say enough about him. But tell us, who was Abe Vanderpooy, if you can do so?
Well, Abe is pure Dutch. His parents came over as little children with their parents from Holland and settled in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and Abe grew up there, and he committed his life to the Lord when he was in high school, and shortly after that, somebody pushed a college yearbook at him and said, here, if you want to go to jail, this is one. And Abe read it, and he read the pledge that you would take to go to that Christian school, and he said, this is just what I wanted. And he went there, and he was ordained in 1940 as a minister when he was still a very young man. And then he and his wife, he was pastoring a small church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and teaching speech at the college and going to seminary. And a missionary from Ecuador came to that church, and he said to Abe one night, I think you and your wife belong at radio station 8CJB in Quito. You really have a voice for radio.
Oh, he did.
as you do, Norm. And he said, if it's all right with you, I'd like to talk to the founding president of that mission. And that was the beginning of Abe and his first wife, Dolores, going to Ecuador. Then first he did rural evangelism with a sound bus, going from little village to little village, preaching in the town square.
Oh, my.
And then he was given an administrative position at radio station ACJB in Quito, the capital city. And then later became the president of the mission for 20 years. And then at age 62, he said that he would like to turn that over to a younger man, which he did, but stayed on with the mission. And also during those years, he was voice of missions on Back to the Bible.
Yes.
And he was president of National Religious Broadcasters for 4 years. In 1965, his first wife died with cancer. And she had been my neighbor after the children
really?
And I had moved from the jungles up to the capital. And I said to her one time when she was in remission, I appreciate your testimony and the fact that you always use that scripture verse, whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. And yes, that's fine for you because you'll be with the Lord. But how about Abe and the children? And she said, when I'm gone, God will provide for Abe and the children. So I got to be that provision. And our children were all very much for our getting married. And so Abe had three and I had three, and we joined our families. And Abe was a very, very committed man, just as Nate was, and very high energy, and used all of that energy for God. He was a wonderful husband and father and grandfather and great-grandfather. And I'd be hard put to say enough good about him.
Yeah. Marge, I remember one time accepting an award for my father at National Religious Broadcasters. And as a result of that award, I was sitting in the front row there, was sitting next to Abe, and I had the opportunity to talk for the longest time, not during the meeting, but before the meeting, with him about all kinds of things. And I remember how fascinated I was in hearing him talk about just a whole range of subjects. And I want to stress that as president of National Religious Broadcasters, his influence was enormous on the Christian broadcasting industry. Not only did he make a tremendous contribution to what we call missionary radio at HCJB, one of the great stations of the world, but to the whole Christian broadcasting industry. His work was highly regarded by my father, as he was personally, of course, and also by me. So it's almost like whenever we saw you and Abe together, it was almost like being with family and meeting family. But the thing I remember so much about him was his graciousness, his wisdom, and the competency with which he conducted business as president of National Religious Broadcasters. And I also heard him as a speaker on Back to the Bible, one of the premier radio ministries, not only today, but in the history of Christian broadcasting. So, my, what a tremendous legacy your dear husband left behind, Abe Vanderpoy, and how much we miss him and how highly we regard him. And again, he is a model for all of us who seek to proclaim the name and the gospel of Jesus Christ by radio.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Norm. I must say I agree with you.
Marge has been a steadfast rock to two great men of God, and we honor her for it. She'll join Norm again in a moment to wrap up this look at her extraordinary life.
You know, friends like you make this ministry possible, and your sacrificial gifts mean the world to us. This month, with your gift of $20 or more, we'd be thrilled to send you a very special lapel pin or car magnet reminding you and others to pray for our troops. This is one of the best ways we can help repay their sacrifice. It's all part of our January Soldiers Bible Project, our New Year's effort to get Bibles into the hands of our servicemen and women who are hungry for God's Word. We can't think of a better way to start off this new year of 2017. Each Bible can be placed into the hands of a seeker for $20. Add an additional gift of $20 or more for the lapel pin or car magnet reminder to pray for our troops. Some in active combat zones, others find themselves in areas that could erupt at any moment. Bram?
Contact us today to let us know you'd like to support us and stand with us as we begin another 70 years of outreach and ministry of Compassion Radio. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're available 24/7 on the internet at CompassionRadio.com.
Your call can literally change the course of a life and a nation. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You know, I would like here in the closing minutes that we have together to just get your reflections a bit on my father and on his passing. We are spending some time these days talking about him and his ministry. I, as a grateful son, of course, am quite biased, but we've had so many tributes that have come from so many people, listeners and leaders in the Christian community, not only here in the United States, but in other parts of the world. But you knew him when he was a young man, starting out in ministry, and you were impacted by him in those days. What can you say, Marge, about Wilbur Nelson?
Well, I was very impressed from the first time that I heard him sing down at the Church of the Open Door at a Youth for Christ meeting. And, of course, he had that most melodious voice. And if I recall, one night at one of those meetings, he challenged anybody to name a hymn that he couldn't sing at least the first verse from memory. I don't remember if that's exactly correct, but
that is
correct.
That's
the way I remember it.
He used to do that. He used to do that, yeah.
Terrific as a soloist. But then one night when we were down there to those youth meetings, and we nurses usually got there late enough, having been on duty, that we would run down and had to sit way up in the top balcony, but we could still see him. And one night he said that he was starting a church in the E-Bell Club building. Was that what it was called?
Yes, it was.
E-Bell
That's
Clubhouse,
right.
Yeah. And invited anyone who didn't have a church home to join them out there for worshiping God. And so we five nurses decided that we would just go out there and see what it was all about. And we did. And I'm telling you, your father and your mother made over us so much. And we were all away from home. And that was just what we needed to know, that your mom and your dad loved us and cared about us and welcomed us to that fellowship. And all five of us went to the mission field.
Isn't that amazing?
And I can still remember being invited to your parents' home and the delicious pies that your mother used to make.
I remember those, too.
And how she played the organ so beautifully. And what a sweet, sweet lady she was. And your dad, oh, he just made his messages come to life in the way that he spoke, so down to earth and so meaningful to all of us. Then, of course, we always looked forward to his singing. Wilbur Nelson was a very special person to all five of us, and I speak for myself when I say that I have been so glad to tell people that I went to the mission field from your dad's church, Norman. Mm. And I must say that I felt a pain in my heart when I knew that he was no longer here, but I know where he is, and I look forward to the day when I will be there with him.
I don't suppose, Marge, that there's going to be a radio station in heaven, but if there is, Abe Vanderpoy and Wilbur Nelson, I'm sure, are going to team up.
Yes, I think they will be, and your mom will be playing the organ, and I'll be going around saying hello to everybody. How's that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Marge, it's just been an absolute joy to talk with you. There's hardly anybody I know that knows me, has known me longer than you have.
Yeah.
And it's a joy and a privilege what an important role you and your ministry through the years has played in our lives. So I want to thank you, Marge St. Vanderpoy, for sharing with us a bit today, not just for nostalgia's sake, as pleasant as that is, but once again to make real and make alive the challenge and the joy of serving Jesus Christ and following his will for our lives. You've done that so effectively, and I want to thank you.
Norman, I would just like to say, as you are following in your father's footsteps, we have a son who is following in his father, Nate's, footsteps, and he now works full-time, sold his business, and is working full-time with the tribe of Indians who killed his father. He's a pilot, and he's just like Nate was. And I'm sure that that was a blessing to your dad to have you, just as it blesses my heart to have Steve working with this tribe. And he has Indigenous Peoples Technology and Education Center, very committed to the Indigenous peoples around the world. And then one other little thing I wanted to tell you was, just shortly before Abe died, he quoted to me one night about midnight when I was tucking him in.
Hmm.
I guess it's a song. Maybe you have sung it. One sweet solemn thought comes to me o'er and o'er, Near my home am I today than I've ever been before. Near the bounds of life where burdens are laid down. Near to leave the heavy cross. Near to gain the crown. And he just quoted that for me one night. And then another night, I told him, I said, now, every time you wake up in the night, you blow your whistle, and I'll be right here to help you. And he said, oh, just wait a minute. I want to tell you. And he quoted, sometimes when sin doth encumber and my strivings for holiness seem but a sham, I cry to my blessed Redeemer, can you love me just as I am? And I just thought that was wonderful, that those were uppermost thoughts in Abe's mind and heart before he went to heaven.
That is so beautiful, and you'll be so glad, I know, to know that that was one of the songs that my dad sang, one of the favorites that he sang in meetings all around the United States.
Oh.
As he carried the gospel. I knew every word you quoted. I heard my dad sing that so many times, and it is such a rich message.
Yes.
My, how you've blessed us over these last couple of days, Marge. Thank you again for being with us on Compassion Radio, and we just pray God's richest blessing on you and as you continue to serve him and to be his person. Thanks so much for joining us on Compassion Radio.
Oh, well, it's been my privilege, Norman, to be back in touch with you and then to be on the radio with you. Bye for now.
God bless you. Well, my friend, God is faithful, even when tragedy strikes our lives. And this wonderful story demonstrates his faithfulness. I hope so much that what you've heard on these two programs will encourage you to hold fast in tough times and to be bold in serving him.
That was For the Sake of the Call by the Continental Singers on a very special Compassion Radio-only collection called Together We Will Stand. Well, that wraps up an absolute classic from our vast Compassion Radio archives. I hope and pray that it was a blessing to you today, and that you can pass along that blessing by recommending to others to listen in, and perhaps download the podcast. You may remember that last month we asked you to pray earnestly for Norm. We don't know specifically what the days ahead have in store for Norm, but we do know that God holds him close. His vision and passion remain central to who we are as a ministry and a broadcast. We are trusting that you will continue to hold us all up in this season of change as his health forces him to discontinue his daily involvement and on-air presence. The Ministry of Compassion Radio is Norm's living legacy, and it's very much alive. Well, here we are, last day of the month, and we want to do all we can to get Bibles into the hands of our military brothers and sisters through this month's special project that we've set aside to start off 2017. Would you call us right now with a one-time gift of $25 or more to help give this project one final push before we embark on the month of February? Thank you so much for your consideration and generosity. Our number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. or give online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. Come on by and pay us a visit, especially if it's been a while. CompassionRadio.com. You know, few things are as exciting as seeing a long-established ministry still being used by God to touch and change lives. But it doesn't all just happen automatically. The staff works diligently with the gifts you provide to keep Compassion Radio on the airwaves. And your help is needed to allow this broadcast to forge into the future. If you're able, call now and let the ministry count on your financial support as we plan for the months ahead. That number again is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Norman Cher Nelson, Bram Floria, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.